Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Disrespected Trucker Radio Show.
Let's get it started in here.
And the bass keeps running, running, and running, running,
and running, running, and running, running, and running, running, and running, running, and running, running, and running, running,
in this context.
Parental guidance is suggested.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, once again to the Disrespected Trucker Radio Show. I will be your host tonight, Billy, a.k.a. Chris Bikerson, or whatever other name I go by to keep the feds confused as they try to pursue my every move. My co-host tonight will be the voice of reason, or perhaps the voice of insanity, Radio Daryl. Daryl, how the hell are you doing tonight?
I am the reason, the voice of both. I just kept the bases covered. I'm doing all right. I'm tired.
You're the voice of insane reason?
Yes, because a lot of stuff that's going on, they've gone insane and they have no reason. Man, like Bud Light, they didn't learn the first time. That's just plain stupidity. But I'm good.
Yeah, that way, I'm just going to go down in the books. It's a really stupid move. I agree.
Oh, it's beyond stupid. I mean, it's as stupid as Biden saying, if you ain't black, if you don't vote for me, you ain't black. And you know what, Biden, I didn't vote for you. We'll never vote for you. I don't like you, and you got my skin color wrong anyway. I'm brown, not black. My hair is black, idiot. But anyway, there you go.
I don't understand why you got to hate on Biden so much, why you're such a racist.
Because he's a freaking retard. I'm just going to say that. They voted a geriatric idiot in. They voted someone in that was voted solo on a damn total poll. That's like saying, I'm going to take this doctor that got a D in medical school, and you know what? I'm going to pick him instead of the doctor that has the A-plus rating. That's what they picked. They scraped the bottom of the barrel, got crud, and look at what kind of a position we're in. We're in a cruddy-ass position. He's never been any good for the whole 50 years that he's been in politics. He has done nothing good. And if he has done something good, someone please call in the show and tell us. Because right now, I don't see it. I don't feel it. He is a total, and I'm going to say it, idiot. I was going to say a different word. I decided to be nice tonight. He's an idiot. He should not be there. And Kamala Ding Dong Harris, yeah, you heard me. I called her that. She is no better because she doesn't have enough gumption to go ahead and look at him and say, what you're doing is all messed up, and she doesn't stand up for anything. She's just a follow me doggy. There you go. I said it. Yeah, if you don't like what I said, please call the show, and we can talk about it. That includes the NAACP. I'm picking on everybody, too.
Yeah, ask for the complaint department whenever you do contact the show. Our complaint department will absolutely take your complaint seriously. We'll investigate it fully and tell you to buzz off. That's pretty much how our complaint department works. We're not. You know what? We're not here to make friends. Well, we are here to make friends. We're here to entertain people, give everybody something to listen to, something to talk about. At any time, if anybody wants to add anything, I just want to throw this out here right at the beginning because it seems like we forget this all the time. The number to call, if you want to call in with a comment, question, complaint, whatever, feel free to call in with an opposing viewpoint. We are all about civil discourse here. With something, you know, that's like a lost art in this country, the ability to actually have a clean debate with someone without resorting to name calling and death threats and everything else. But the number is 516-387-1733. I will say it again, 516-387-1733. No. Yeah. 1733. Yeah. I got it right. I said it right. I don't know why.
You said it right.
All right. So, you know, we usually have a little game of headlines at the beginning of the show. And I've got a new game I'm going to play as well. And this one's real easy. I'm going to throw this out there. And I want our listening audience and our viewers now that we have the live video feed going, I want our audience to tell me what year I'm talking about, okay? The name of this game is What Year Is It? And I will have the answer later in the show, all right? So here we go. Kennedy is running for president. We're on the brink of war with Russia. Our communist rival is putting in place military assets in Cuba. The country has had all kinds of protests of all sorts of political and other issues. And the nation is entering a war promising that we're only sending advisors. We're only going to have advisors in country. What year am I talking about? All right, that's the quiz question for the audience tonight. So if you want to throw that out there on our chat group, if I get the chance to pull up the chat group, yeah, that's a question for you. Try to answer that. Well, I'm going to give you the answer to that question later in the show. What year am I talking about? Kennedy's running for president. We're on the brink of nuclear war with Russia. Our communist rival is deploying military assets to Cuba. There's protests all over the country over all sorts of issues, and we are entering a large war only sending in advisors. That's it. We're only sending advisors. That's it. What year is Crazy Bikerson talking about? All right, now that we got that out of the way,
we'll try to run a quick version of the headline game here. For those of you that don't know the headline game, the way that works is basically Daryl's going to be like the batter. It's kind of like baseball. And we do three strikes or four balls. If he walks, he wins. He gets four balls, he wins. If I get three strikes, I win. And the game is which of the headlines – of the headlines that I'm reading, are they true, or are they real, or are they satire? Okay, so we are going to launch into that game as soon as I can pull up some headlines here on all the multiple screens I'm dealing with here. And let's see here. All right, you know what? We'll press.
And this is another one we're going to talk about tonight. Obviously had a sad ending, but here we go. Daryl, you ready?
I'm ready. Hold on.
You're ready.
Dust off my cleats. I'm ready. Got my wooden bat.
All right. The headline is, Biden promises to send rescue train in search of missing sub.
Is that
satire, or did the bumbling old man actually say he was going to send a rescue train to go get the sub?
I'm going to go ahead and say satire. I know what you're going to tell me. He said it. Satire.
I did not get the strike. It's a sad day. It's a very sad day.
What?
All right.
Please don't tell me you. Wait a minute. Don't tell me you were serious. Don't tell me he really said that.
No, that was satire.
Oh.
That was the Babylon.
Oh, okay. Heck yeah. There you go. That one was for, huh?
But, I mean, it sounds like something he would slip up and say.
Oh, it does. It does. That's why that one was hard, because I was just like, okay, you know he'll say something stupid like that, but now I get to give the man a little bit of credit. He didn't say something that beyond stupid. He's even searching for – wait a minute. He's searching for a submarine. How come he ain't searching for the Americans that was left over in left over in that debacle in the Middle East? What happened to that?
You know,
You know, we're just not allowed to talk uh-huh. about that. I mean, I think that's...
you know, I don't go by the rules.
That's the way it works now.
You know, I don't go by that. Like, just like Bud Light and that stupid rainbow can that they have. What the...
Well, you know what?
That's something else we can talk about.
Speaking of the rainbow can, are you ready for the next pitch?
Oh, boy. Here we go. Bring it on.
All right. So, the frozen climbers on Mount Everest have been decorated with pride flags for Pride Month.
The frozen climber?
Yeah,
say that again.
You know Mount Everest. The frozen climbers
yep.
on Mount Everest have been decorated with pride flags for Pride Month. Is that real or satire?
Okay. That gotta be real. That sounds like something they would do. They try to paint everything on everything else. So that gotta
all
be
right.
That's true.
Well, finally strike. That one is also satire.
That one's satire?
That one's satire.
What?
But I mean, you know, we gave them an idea. I'm sure it'll happen next year now.
Are you? That is crazy. You know, it wouldn't surprise
all right.
me.
Now, will I
okay.
throw three satires in a row? Am I the
yeah.
kind of guy that would do that? I mean, you know, surely I wouldn't throw three satires in a row.
Yeah, you would.
I just did two satires in a row. I mean, I pretty much have to throw a truth out now. Or is that my game?
Yeah,
is that
know.
How I'm going to mess up? Am I messing with your mind?
No, not yet. I'm still waking up. I need to eat a peanut butter and jelly sandwich.
All right. Here we go.
Here's the pitch. All right, bring it.
Geraldo Rivera quits Fox News' most popular TV show and whines afterward.
It sounds like him. You know what? I'm going to say that's for real.
That is real. That is very real. Good. Yeah, we're 2-1.
Mm-hmm. I should have been with zero strikeouts, but it's all good.
All right. Here's another one.
Okay.
Barack Obama gets handsy with Michelle at the Acropolis.
That's satire. He doesn't get handsy. I never seen him handsy. That's satire.
Yeah.
I'm not gonna say anything else on that, but
that is real.
What?
That is real. As he helped
no.
her up the stairs, he got himself a handful of Michelle O'Booty.
Okay, that's something normal.
They got
people
pictures
do.
Of it and everything.
That's not being. Oh my gosh! That no. That oh my gosh! Okay, that's normal.
We have a disagreement right, over what handsy means, don't we?
Yeah, big time. Because you know what? That's what brothers do. We grab ass. We grab our honey's ass or our date's ass or our booty calls, but we do it because why? That's what we like to do. We like grabbing booty. So that's not something that's like, ooh, my gosh. I mean, I thought he kind of laid a lip lock, put her down and da-da-da, gave her a hug and then did all that. But just because he grabbed her. Okay. Somebody that does not romance had to say that.
All right, so here we go.
Okay.
Next one. Garth Brooks opens gay bar.
Garth Brooks opened gay bar.
Yeah. Satire.
this game should have been closed out. It should have been closed out. But no, going to the extra inning. That was for Larry Doby from the Cleveland Guardians. Oh yeah, for people who don't know who that is, that's the black baseball player way back in the day.
Right. Man, what are we at? 22 now?
No, I'm ahead. Hey, man, am I ahead?
All right, I think we're 2-2. We've done 4.
Done 4? Okay, 2-2. I've done 4-0.
Uh-huh. All right.
Mom, bring it. Here we go. Wait a minute. I hear the crowd cheering.
Child waves at his teacher and principal on Pride Parade float, acting out bondage scene.
Wait a minute. Say that again.
Child waves at his teacher and principal on Pride Parade float, acting out bondage scene. And I get him. He is struck out. That was also satire. Babylon B.
Ah! I could have told you he could have been up there and putting his head together, waving like...
All right, yeah,
well,
the audience
you get
is here
one tonight. You get one tonight. Get one tonight. Already, I did two. I
it's
did
been
two
a while.
I want two. Yep, I want
yeah,
two in a row.
It's been a while. All right. Now, before we move on to our next thing here, I want to remind everybody, we do have a little game going with the audience. What year is it as a game? Kennedy's running for office, running for president. We're on the brink of war, nuclear war with Russia. Military assets are being communist. Military assets are being deployed into Cuba. Protests are happening all around the country. We're entering a large war, but we're only sending advisors in. Only sending advisors in. What year am I talking about?
I know what year you're talking about. Can I say it?
No, you can't say it. It is not time to answer that question yet. That is out there for the audience to throw their answers, throw their best guess at us. So
kind of easy.
We talked about the submarine. Darryl, what do you know about this whole submarine?
I know a little bit about that because I heard some famous person. Okay, this is what I heard about it and what I was able to dig out because I was on the road when this happened. All right, they lost sight of this tube. All right, now, when you say submarine, you're going to think of something, even if it's a mini sub, you're going to think at least by a corporation, it's going to be some. Okay, go ahead.
Mini sub.
What?
It's technically a submersible.
When you think of a submarine or a mini sub, you want to think something that is well built. You know, got all the just like you see on Walt Disney shows or you know the National, whatever, the Discovery Channel and all that stuff when they're showing history. But from what I heard on this one wasn't well made. They used bullshit materials, and then on this sub, you might as well say it was a mini sub coffin because they bolt the door closed. So the only way you're going to be able to open it is you unbolt it. So I guess, you know, they sent these people down and I guess off from what I heard, the contract they had to sign, I heard it had something like death 3 or 4 times. And I'm sorry, but me, I would be like, no, that's okay. This doesn't even look good. And the sub went down. And how can you lose contact of something you sent down? And so now these people, they're down there. So I guess it's a room for 5 people. They only have limited oxygen. And even if they do come up, if nobody know where they're at, they still will lose air because they have no way of opening up this club. And I know a lot of rich people, they do this stuff. And they had this one guy, I forgot what show he was on, but he said he did it, and he was fine with it. You know, it was a good experience. But, unfortunately, he didn't go with the company that had that sub, and it wasn't even made like it was supposed to be. It was like saying, hey, I'm going to go out and buy this Cadillac, and you come back with a 1956 rusted-ass Cadillac Brougham, which got headlights missing, the roof has faded paint marks on it, and it's squeezed going down the road, and the door falls off, and you look at your girlfriend and say, hey, it's safe. So there you go.
Well, you know they found it, right?
No. Where they find it?
Oh, you were asleep when that broke. All right. For those that don't know what we're talking about at all, there was a submersible, mini submarine. It was a tourist type of thing, taking some very wealthy clients down to see the Titanic in person. Despite some reports that this thing had no window on it, that was not actually correct. It did have a 7-inch thick vinyl plexiglass window that was built into it so that it could be used, you know, for viewing down there once they got to the seafloor. And it went missing a few days ago. It basically got, I forget what the exact depth was, I'm wanting to say somewhere around 1,300 feet down or so in the water.
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden, just communications were lost. And for the last several days, the Coast Guard has been trying to locate it to no avail until earlier today. I'm not sure what time they actually found it. I know the announcement just came out. Seems like it came out around 3 or 4 o'clock this afternoon. But the Coast Guard has basically discovered its debris at the bottom of the ocean and have confirmed that basically what happened was that it imploded. It obviously couldn't withstand the pressures of the depth that it was at. There's no telling what failed, but failed in there inside the pressure tank, and the whole thing just it got crushed like a tin can. If you can imagine how much weight is on you at that kind of depth with all the water above you. That's a lot of weight to withstand, and obviously it couldn't withstand. It's a sad deal.
Like.
But here's the bad thing, and this just shows how horrible we've become, I think, as a species, in general. I mean, there are people saying that these guys deserved it, and I get it. People are frustrated. You know, these guys apparently paid $250,000 to go drop down, you know, a couple thousand feet into the ocean just to see the Titanic for themselves. And I can get, you know, you're an enthusiast, but I can see where people are frustrated too, but I'm going to get to that in just a little bit. People are literally laughing about this. The submarine jokes have started in big time. A lot of people saying that, yeah, these guys paying $250,000, you know, $250,000 for a submersible ride to go see a tourist attraction, you know, while most people are deciding whether they're going to have electricity or food, you know. It's gotten really nasty, and that's kind of where we are as a society. We have gotten very nasty towards each other. We've gotten very disrespectful towards each other, very callous, very cold. And you know what? I mean, I don't mean to stand here on a soapbox and preach, because I have definitely bought into some of that division as well. I can't repeat some of the things I've said because the NSA like show up at my door before the broadcast was over. But it's getting ugly out there, and I think the case with this submersible only proves that. What do you think, their voice of insane reason?
Oh man, okay. I'm going to say this for all you people that are making fun of this tragedy. I'm going to give you the middle finger, and I will tell it to your face. Because just because you don't make the money, your asses go out to amusement parks, go out to water parks, you can do all these other things where it can cause death. Why? Because you have the money. Because let me repeat that. Because you have the money to go in and enjoy this. Right now with this Biden administration, it's tight as shit. So whoever voted for his ass, this is what you asked for. Now, $250,000 to be able to go. Now, if some of you don't even know anything about the Titanic because you don't open up a book for one. Only thing you do is sit back at home and eat some damn bonbons and Cheetos. But for some of y'all who doesn't know about this, they had a great big movie. It's called, wait a minute, what's it called? Oh, the Titanic. You know, do your history upon that. And if you have a chance to go ahead and see history, a lot of people would do that. And because of these people who have a shitload of money, $250,000 is just a drop in a hat. And it's something that they wanted to experience. And it's something that went wrong. There is nothing funny about this. You have people living in Vegas who does the air-to-air fighting maneuvers. They ride exotic cars on racetracks. So if something happened and they rolled over and killed themselves or crashed into something, you're going to say, well, they deserve that. Or, for instance, say you riding your ATV that you put money on, you did something where, say, the tire went out and you're near a riverbank and you drown. People supposed to make fun of you for that because of the money? So what is wrong with you folks? That is not nothing to even laugh about. Right, these people died. That was a horrible freaking death. Horrible. There is nothing you can do. Whoever was the pilot of that knew they're not coming back. And you got the nerve to sit back in front of this shit. And if it was anybody related to me and I heard somebody made fun of them, I'll punch you dead in your damn throat. That is nothing to joke about.
No, you know, not at all.
It's nothing to joke about. I mean, that is, you know, I mean, that's just like saying, look at the Saudis, all these people, Bill Gates on them. They got so much money, $250,000, that's like $5 to them, on us. You know, that's chump change. But yet now we've got a society because nobody wants to, because everybody now, they don't have any, you folks, for some reason, you don't have any respect for human life. You know, okay, I don't mind if you have something to say, but when it comes to a point when people are dying like that, you know, a lot of this happened because some of you insensitive assholes, when people were dying during the COVID incident, which some of y'all are so damn ignorant, you don't even understand that this stuff was, that people, they knew about this stuff in 1960. This ain't something that all of a sudden came up. That these people were dying from it, and on both sides of the aisle, your people are laughing about it. And it's not a freaking funny joke. This stuff, that's not funny. There's some things where I can see where sometimes you're like, okay, why did they do that? It's kind of like, why did you do that? But this, to go be able to have, would I have done it? Hell no, because you're not going to bolt me in something I can't get out of. But to have that experience, go down and see that, which a lot of you will not ever be able to do, it's a risk that they assume, and unfortunately, they didn't come back. So I don't hear you talking about people swimming with the sharks. I don't hear you talking about people off of Fear Factor that got snakes with them. I don't hear you talking about the people up there in
up and where? Oh, I think we lost Daryl. All right. Well, while we wait for his signal to catch back up, to the kind of the point I was getting to with this. Yep. Sure enough, Daryl dropped completely. Should I let him back on? We'll take an audience vote. Just kidding. But, you know, people are frustrated. And this is what happens when you create economic hardship. This is what happens when you create extreme political division. Right? Here he comes. And
back.
All right.
Ah,
now we got
him back.
Saying is, you know, this is what happens, though, unfortunately, when you polarize the nation. First they came in, they demoralized the country. Then they came in and destabilized completely, polarized everybody, right, through their manipulation with the media and other ways, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then they came in and they wreaked havoc on the economy. So now we're at that stage where people are hurting financially. So if you've got more money, you know, basically up yours, I hate you. And a lot of that also comes, though, with the fact that, you know, we've got this crony capitalist system going on to where, you know, the top 10% of the wealth owners in this country hold an insane amount of net worth. And the chart, when you look at the entire middle class and then their average income, and then you compare it to the top 10%, it's unbelievable. It's not just, it's like basically the entire country is just barely even discernible on the graph, and then you've got this spike that goes up. And so when the boomers were growing up, the typical CEO of a large company, I believe, at least what I was always taught, usually made approximately 50 times what the lowest paid employee made, right?
Right.
So if you were a company that your lowest paid employee was, say, $10 an hour, you could expect that the CEO would be making $500 an hour. We're nowhere near that. We're nowhere near that at all. These CEOs are having to make, it's ridiculous. And Leanna, I am getting the notice here about the live comments, and basically I've got too many screens to try to control is what's happening. If you're able to go see the live video feed on Twitter, I forgot to announce that. Bikerson Digital Media at Bikerson Live is a Twitter page where the show is streaming live on video. There is a chat section there, although I haven't really built up any followers on that channel yet, so there's no one talking. Going back to the CEO, we're nowhere near 50 times the bottom employee. These CEOs are making, you know, hundreds of millions of dollars a year, and their lowest paid employees are around 10 bucks. You're talking, I think the last one that came out was a lot of these CEOs are making so much money that the bottom paid employee would have to work an entire shift, their entire full-time shift, for an entire month just to equal 1 hour, you know, earnings for the CEO. So you think about that, 8 hours in a day, 40 hours a week, So you're basically talking somewhere in the neighborhood of 160 times that of their bottom paid employee. I mean, the point is, you know, it's we've got a huge imbalance, and you don't get that kind of huge imbalance from an actual free market system. Because if it was an actual free market, things like that would correct itself. But we don't have a free market. Instead, what we have is a crony capitalist system where the government plays favorites. It chooses winners or losers. And we're going through a period now where the rich are getting richer and the poor are getting poorer. The financial divide, the gap between the wealthy and the not wealthy, is getting larger and larger and larger. And despite what a lot of conservatives say is, well, you know, it trends up, you know, as the top earners get more money, you know, they say they pull everyone up with them. But that's not what's happening. Inflation's going up. Inflation is basically a tax, and it helps the wealthy and hurts the poor in the middle class. Inflation's going up. Unemployment's going up. Wages are stagnating, in some cases actually going down. Yet, through all these market moves and manipulation, you know, the wealthy are doing good because the inflation is increasing, or rather decreasing the value of their debt service. Okay, so think of it like when you bought your first house 30 years ago and how small that house payment would be compared to if you bought that same house today, right? That's what happens with inflation. Inflation goes up. If you're a corporation, you adjust costs to fit that inflation. And all of a sudden, whatever payments you were making on those previous lines of credit, loans, et cetera, those payments that used to be a pretty big chunk of your budget, well, they seem like a relatively small chunk of your budget now because everything else costs so much and you've increased prices to increase your revenue. But the employees are not seeing an increase in revenue. Their pay is staying flat while inflation goes up. And this is why the wealthy aren't just doing good. They're really thriving. And everyone else is suffering. I don't know. What do you think, Daryl?
Well, with me, all right, now I'm going to play both sides of this. All right. So a lot of these people, a lot of this money, they have a lot of responsibility because, you know, globalization came in and they have a shitload of responsibilities, which a lot of people would not have, or if they were offered it, they would say, yeah, no, thank you, because you lose a lot of family time and this and that. And a lot of them, they earn their keep. There are a lot of companies out there, they do share their wealth with their employees. And, you know, is it rare? It's not as big as it should be, but, yes, there are some people that does that. Now, also with you know, and I understand capitalism because, you know what, I don't care what anybody says. Everybody's trying to get rich. If you tell me BS, I'm going to look at you and say, okay, how many lotto tickets have you bought? How many times have you went to Vegas and hope that you get a big score? Everybody wants to be rich. If even not even rich, at least well off. But the thing is, let's just put it like this. Look at the people who you vote in. You vote in these people who are rich. They have no idea how we live, and they don't give a shit. And you guys continuously vote for these idiots. And, you know, okay, I don't like Jimmy Carter too. I'm not too big of a Jimmy Carter fan. But at least he had a budget where we could have got back to practically almost zero. You know, but yet they did not decide to stay with that. And unfortunately now when everybody's talking about raise minimum wage, I said, but see, you guys didn't look at the long haul on this and everything that this administration was doing. They raised your minimum wage. They raised the cost of living. You're worse off than you was before. You know, and now they're trying to get rid of all your jobs that they raised your minimum wage to, like McDonald's. You don't hardly see people in there anymore. You have the same thing going on with Walmart. You have the same thing going on, you know, they have a grocery store that's in California. There's nobody working it. It's all automated, you know, except for them to stock everything. You know, so, you know, we've been going on this craziness because we don't, every time someone with some common sense or wants to run business the way it run the United States the way it should be ran, we don't vote for them. But we voted for one, but now they're trying to ostracize it. Now, I ain't going to say this man was perfect. I'm going to just say Trump. He ain't perfect. Nowhere near it. You know, as a man, don't care. But he had some policies that was on mark a hell of a lot better than the city we have now. That was doing a hell of a lot better. And truckers, of one of the people who knows, when the economy sucks, we get screwed over because of tires, maintenance, fuel. I'm paying triple amount of fuel. But people, when you sit back and you vote, and these even for people that are for your state and local levels, you need to start using your head and start voting for people that are real, voting for people who understand how this nation is and how you have to work your ass off and how hard you have to work, and they understand that. Because we keep voting these lawyers in, keep voting these people that says, I have five businesses and da-da-da-da. Okay, but how are you treating your employees? I know that they never ask these people, how are your employees being treated? They never ask them that. So here we are. We got all these CEOs. Now, this is the part I'm not gonna agree with them. They're making all this money, and the people, and I understand they got responsibilities, but they wouldn't be making that money if it wasn't for the workers, for everybody underneath them. And it's gotten to a point where they've gotten so greedy because we keep putting people in power that think, okay, let's make a tax break for the richer and rich people, and basically, you know what? You middle-class folks, we'll give you a little bit of a break. We'll give you a little bit. People that's in poverty level, we just forget all about you. We don't give a shit about you because you really don't make any difference to us. And that's exactly how they think because you keep voting these people in. And so it needs to change. So I'm all for capitalism. But like you said, Chris, this has gone out of control. This isn't capitalism. This is the government, like you said. They're turning around saying, you're the winners, you guys are losers, and we sit back and we act like nothing's going on because you're happy drinking your rainbow beer, you're happy with talking about Chick-fil-A, you're happy, as long as your cause is dealt with, you don't care about anything else, but but deep down, you're just like everybody else. What the happened to my money? Why is it I got to choose between gas, getting some gas, or going to the grocery store? Or some of y'all, medical bills, pay gas, grocery store, or electricity. You know what? We got to start, and we bought it on ourselves. We sit back and we didn't stand up and say, you know what, enough is enough. You know, so, you know, on that part, and look at our president. I'm going to say the president that's in right now. I'm not going to talk about past presidents. One that's in right now, what is he doing? He is not making life for us any easier. None. He's making it worse. Just like this governor in Colorado, we are down one of the top 10 worst cities because you people decided to vote this fool in, and he's just, I don't get it. Why people always think that rich people have the answers to everything, and they don't. We got rich people running the nation, and look at our nation now. It's effed up. There you go. There's my saying. I'm drinking my soda.
There you go. You know, we wanted to vote more business owners, business types, investors,
right?
People with money. We wanted to vote more of them in so that they would run the country like a business, right? And not tax and spend too much and run it like a budget, but they did. They came in and they ran the country like a business and put a shitload of money in their own pockets. That's what happened.
I'd rather have a business because you have a lot of these people in legislation. They're not really business owners. There's some business owners, and don't get me wrong. There's some business owners that do care and that run, and they do care. It's just unfortunately they don't speak out enough. Or they get into politics for the wrong reason. Because truthfully, these fools in politics, they need to have a term limit. Because they wouldn't be making the money that they're doing. That's the only reason they're there. Because if you look at their wages, and then you see how much they are making or they're worth, that should be telling you something. Those people should have term limits. You got that one, I can't think of that old lady's name, wears the glasses, and she made a comment saying, the reason we're in politics is because we know what you want and we're better than you. And they could barely will her into her seat. She needs to go. Chuck Schumer needs to go. Maxine Waters, all these people, they've been there forever. That's why this system is so effed up, because you got all these people that's been in power and pocketing, betting against American people and taking money from them. It's because they're there forever. And that is a big problem. But don't get me wrong, there are some business people out there. They only thing they want is what's good for the nation. I think they need to have more voices. They need to speak up a little higher. Maybe this corporate media needs to start covering them instead of covering all these rich cats that have so much money. Because there's a difference between a small business person that has some common sense than some mega rich person who doesn't give a crap and the only thing they care about is their daggone businesses. Because a lot smaller person, they care about their employees, because if it wasn't for their employees, they wouldn't have a business. But you get these people that have all these businesses like Trump, you know, and I'll give Trump some credit. He does give a shit at times. But a lot of them, they don't, because what they're looking at, basically, they're looking at the bottom line. They're looking at numbers. They're not looking at people. And that's where, and then they pass their money on to these politicians, and these politicians, instead of having enough honor to say, you know what, I appreciate you handing me all this money, but the way you want me to take it isn't right, and I can't take it. It would be nice we start having politicians that would do that, because then it starts sending a message. And then maybe we can start turning this around a little bit.
We need to do something, and I'm not sure what the answer is. I think term limits is a good start. I also think the only way we're ever actually going to get term limits is going to be through a convention of states. By the way, give a little plug here. There is a convention of states website for those that aren't familiar. And I believe it's conventionofstates.org, if I'm not mistaken. And you can volunteer to join this group. They're a group of it's a grassroots movement, group of volunteers that are trying to mobilize people to go out and get the votes necessary in each state, in each county, to actually get enough people to vote in favor of a convention of states for us to hold one. And that is one of the processes that we use to basically amend the Constitution. And I believe at last count, I think we're up to 18 states have already gone in favor of a convention of states. I believe we need 34 is the target number in order to actually hold a convention of states. And once you hold a convention of states, the states then, with equal voting, decide what they're going to do as far as creating an amendment or amendments to the Constitution. For example, term limits. That's how we get term limits. We literally get a term limit amendment. There's a number of things that a convention of states could go in and do. They could put in new ethics rules for Congress. All those little things that a lot of politicians talk about that they know Congress is never going to vote for because it goes against their personal interest to do that. We're never going to have a Congress to vote, to give a majority vote for term limits for themselves. We're never going to get a Congress that will come in and cut off their own ability to invest in stocks
that they can manipulate through legislation. So the only way we do that is through a convention of states. So I'm going to go ahead and give them a plug. I am actually a member of the convention of states. I unfortunately don't have time to go out there and do a lot of the campaigns that they like to run, as far as, you know, getting out, organizing meetings, you know, and this, that, and the other. But I will do my part on this show to give them a plug and say, you know what, if you're really truly tired of this, and if you really want to see change without a bloody revolution, then go out there, find the conventionofstates.org, get involved locally, get involved at your state level. And as soon as you join, volunteers will be in touch with you by text message, email, phone call, to find out what exactly you'd like to do, what you're able to do to help with the cause they're going, and they can direct you on exactly what's happening in your area and what type of things they need. So, yeah, I'm going to plug that. I'm going to be plugging that every show, one way or another. Even if I have to yell over Jeremy to do it while he's on a rant, conventionofstates.org. Get out there, volunteer. Let's try to get this ship back on the right course, and let's try to do it in a manner that's peaceful, in line with our constitutionally provided tools to do so. As we move on,
I'm also, when you mentioned CO, you mentioned constitutional states. I am also a member of the constitutional states here in Colorado. I just joined up with them not too long ago. So, people, you know, I suggest that you look into it. Like he said, the Convention of States action. We have it here in Colorado.
Yep.
Look it up.
Yeah, they are organized. They are in all 50 states. They got their work cut out for them. The momentum is in favor. We have had a convention of states prior in the history of this country when we found ourselves in a strong state of division. So use of that tool. But I'm going to go on and talk about Ukraine. And I want to talk about the probability of a Ukrainian victory over Russia. Now, you're a military guy. What's your take on the statistical probability of Ukraine actually pulling off a victory against Russia in this war?
If they did it by themselves, there's no help. There's no way they can win against Russia. There's no freaking way. None. The only way they're going to win is people, that's just how it is. We're going to have to be involved, along with everybody else, going to have to be involved for them to beat Russia, period. I can't go into a lot of this, but I will say this. If you look at Ukraine and you look at Russia and Russia's military capability of long-range bombing, which they have shown time and time again that they can hit pretty much any damn thing they want, if they really wanted to just go out and tear this thing down, they would. But they already know from the things they've done already, a lot of people in the world is not happy with them. I mean, now they want to bring them up on war crimes. We're going to have to be involved. And I knew that from day one. And I said that in day one. And matter of fact, folks, and a lot of you who don't know history, we already told Ukraine that they used to have a lot of nuclear weapons, a lot. The reason they got rid of it because the United States said, if you ever need us, we will be there for you. And we had two administrations. They gave them blankets and told them to piss off. And so here it is now where they're using our stuff, along with some of other people, the majority of our shit, and they're using it against Russia. I'm more interested in what's going on with China, because that's fully developing. But, with Russia, this Ukraine thing has always been a mess. I mean, Biden's now, he doesn't want Ukraine to join NATO, I'm kind of like, what the heck is wrong with you? But, again, you have the Biden family. They're tied in with all this mess anyway, whether you guys want to believe it or not. But that's one of our problems there. And it's just going to be a big mess. And you know what? They might as well just, as much stuff as we gave them, they might as well just go ahead and throw them in NATO so they can be protected. And I'm not worried about going to war with Russia. Be truthful with it. If I want to worry about somebody we're going to fight, it's going to be China. I ain't worried about Russia. Their command structure is weak. The United States, our command structure on how we do things is so far superior to theirs that basically I know how to do someone else's work. Somebody else knows how to do my job. And that's how you'll be able to increase your manpower with limited people. So if somebody gets shot, okay, I can pick up the ball. That's how we've always been as a military in the United States. We've always been like that. That's why we always kick butt. But, yeah, the way I see it, they just need to just go ahead. They should have done this a long time ago, put Ukraine in NATO, and then look at Russia and say, hey, we know what you're doing, because basically Russia, they're trying to they started this, and they wanted to pillage stuff from Ukraine. Sooner or later, you got to stand your ground. And, I'm tired of the whole mess anyway. It shouldn't even got this far. If we kept our promise to Ukraine, it wouldn't even get to this point. Totally, and I will say it, we totally freaking dropped the ball like we have done on a lot of other shit, and we made things worse than what it should be. So there you go.
Huh. Well, see, I got to disagree with you there. I don't think putting them into NATO would be a good thing. I think that would be the ultimate provocation. I honestly don't think our military right now, as it stands, has the capability to go and win a ground war against Russia without jeopardizing our own mainland in a big way. Because I like that you brought up China. I think if we attempted ground war with NATO countries against Russia, I believe that would be the absolute time that China would launch a mainland attack against us. We can't fight that war. We cannot fight two huge superpowers of Russia and China at the same time. Definitely not. When it comes to what's going on with this counteroffensive that Ukraine just launched, that was unsuccessful. And from what I understand, there's three layers of lines of defense that need to be penetrated before we can really go in and even begin to claim victory against Russia. They can't even make it to the first line of defense, much less pierce it. And I think we built a lot of false confidence. We sent these tanks over. But you can't take inexperienced people, train them in a tank for 6 years, and send them out to a battlefield against tank operators that have been training in their tanks for years. You know as well as I do, in a combat environment, a tenth of a second faster determines the winner, right? The quick and the dead.
Yep.
And it's not just that, oh, I've got a tank, I can just go blow shit up now. You have a tank, but so does the other side. And if you're going up against a guy that's been in his tank training in it for 10 years, and he can spin that thing on a dime, he knows it like the back of his hand. He knows the weapon systems like the back of his hand. He'll get that tenth of a second advantage of you. He'll get more than that on you if you've only got 6 weeks of training in this tank that just arrived in your country 2 months ago. He'll get you more than a tenth of a second every time in every scenario because he's going to outmaneuver you. He don't have to think about outmaneuvering you. He's been through that drill over and over, knows exactly how to outmaneuver you, knows exactly how to quickly get into position, spin that turret around, lock in on the target, and fire it quickly. All just one fluid motion of accomplishing all those things at once. So basically, my argument is that we took all these soldiers in Ukraine, while everyone cheers and say they're standing with Ukraine, and we essentially trained them on how to go and die. Do you disagree with that? We basically taught them everything they needed to go get themselves killed.
I agree and disagree because the thing is, we have to do something because they weren't the aggressor. Russia was. They're standing up. And it came to a point where, okay, do we let them get slaughtered because the way that Russia was doing, because we failed to back up our policy? Because, again, back in the day, when they came up with this, they knew Russia was going to be an issue. Now, this wasn't something that all of a sudden just said, hey, we're here and we're just going to start bombing the crap out of Ukraine. No, that didn't happen. It's because we have the powers to be who are presidents. And I'm just not gonna start naming off names, but just point being, they didn't take this seriously. So now this is the situation we're in. If they took this thing seriously, if they would have kept their promise like we did in the first place and matched them for everything that they're doing, we would not be here right now. Russia would have said, you know what, screw this. Because remember the desert war we had, we were kicking butt, and Russia decided they like, well, you know, if you continue, we're gonna jump in. And I forgot his general name, but he's freaking awesome. Basically, he told Russia, you step into this, we're going to kick your ass. What did Russia do? Nope, we ain't fucking with y'all. What did happen in Syria? You know, Trump told them, you know what, y'all need to knock this crap off. And they continue to do their thing. What did Russia do? Well, we don't care. We got people there. You're not going to do anything. What does Trump do? He drops an MOAB on their butts of a C-130, thank you. And what happened? All of a sudden, Russia got quiet. Now, we're in a mess. This is a complete mess that we're in. Because either A, we don't do anything, the nation gets ran over, and they lose all their sovereignty, and we're going to be taking in a lot more people. And then what? Then we'll sit back and say, and they'll look at us and say, how come you didn't help us like you say you was going to? So now, here we are. I don't think even if we intervened, it wouldn't be just us. And this president, he's not smart enough to get people together. So that part, if we had a president that can get people together and say, look, this is what's going on. There's a way that we can be able to look at, protect the United States, and if we have to engage, we're not stupid. We're not going to engage all our assets because we don't need to. Would there be some losses? Yes, anytime there's war, there's going to be losses. I don't care what you said. But like you said, Chris, dealing with training, that's why the United States, that's why we train so much. That's why it pisses me off when we have a president that takes money away from the military, because once you take money away from the military, we can't train as hard as we can like we want to, so we can have that split-second decision over our adversaries. How do you think we always win a lot of wars, a lot of scrimmages? Because we think on the run. We practice things. And then when things, when the shit hits the fan, we don't have to sit back and try to think about it. It's like second nature. We go. And if that, that the person that's in command is incapable of doing something, then you have the person underneath them that turns around and said, I got this, and start leading their charge. So now we got Ukraine, who doesn't have almost anything, and they need the help of the United States. If they did, and you're right, there are three layers that they have to, there's three borders that has to be crossed, I guess, for us to and totally engage with Russia. They're smart about it. That's why they use long-range bombing and using drones from other countries. And they're doing this at a point where, because Russia knows if they go in all the way, then everybody else probably start, even though they're not part of NATO, I don't think a lot of nations are going to stomach them just coming in and just start killing people. I think any way it goes, we're going to get drawn in. But we're, but people understand, Russia, they're already on Alaska. They're already messing around with the Arctic Circle because of the strait that's up there that's melting a little bit. So Russia's already screwing us on the north side. Russia's already trolling our waters, and we got a president that's not doing a freaking thing about it. So, you know, I'm not too worried about getting into – honestly, I'm not too worried about getting into a war with Russia. Do I want it to happen? Hell no, I don't. I wish this whole thing would just – I wish these two would just shake hands and be like, you know what, you got this, we have this, leave us the F alone, don't bother us again, and Russia, we won't bother you again, you know, we'll leave you alone, and Biden needs to just, that Biden can't do anything. He's been ineffective for the whole thing because his family, their family deals with all this. They deal with Russia. They got money with Russia, Ukraine, and with China. So, you know, they got dirt on their stupid kid, and I'm sorry, I'm going to say it like that, because unfortunately, you got a rich dad that really didn't give a rat's ass about his kids, who's nothing but a freaking drug whore, and he has no idea what he's doing. He's just getting money in here any means possible to the big guy. But it's just, this whole thing's a freak, it's gone awry, and I don't see any quick way out. And whether Ukraine joins NATO or not, It's a probability we're going to tangle with Russia, and we're going to have to. And China's not stupid; they're not going to come out and invade our home inland. Because one thing is, what's stopping them is they know a lot of us. If you come over to the United States, you're going to be meeting a hell of a lot more people than the damn military. We found that out when we hit Somalia on Black Hawk Down. It's like, oh, it's just Africa. Yeah, it's okay. You know what? We'll go in and get out. As soon as they heard those planes, those helicopters come in, and they're looking at all the smoke, there was weapons that came out of nowhere. There's people that have weapons that you're looking at like, where the hell did that come from? You have weapons coming out of the buttholes of people, and they came out like a son of, see, when you have a nation that has weapons, and you have a foreigner that comes in and tries to take over, and you're like, oh, hell no. And they fought back. You know, and the people, you know, how that situation went, I feel, because it sucked. You know, it was a black eye on the military. But it's a lesson that we learned. And people, that is what the reason I'm saying this, along with the Second Amendment, that's why you don't have nations trying to invade us head on. Because there's a lot of us. We're going to turn around. We're going to fight. A lot of us are going to fight. A lot of y'all are going to cower around and just say, well, just take me. But, you know, that's my take on that. The Ukraine thing, dude, I don't see, I really do not see a way out of this unless, like I said, you're damned if you do, you're damned if you don't. That's the point where we're at. And this administration hasn't done anything to me. This administration hasn't done anything to relieve that.
No, no, they haven't, and it's a sad situation. It's a scary situation.
Yep.
I don't see a lot of good ways out of the mess we've got ourselves into. You know, unless we do the whole, you know, Afghanistan approach, and we just, you know, pull out of Ukraine and say, sorry, you're on your own.
That Afghanistan thing, it pisses me the hell off. It so much pisses me the hell off. Because what he did, he just totally, he didn't just fail the 13 service people and their families that died. He didn't just disservice all those Americans and people who wanted us to come in and help them. And he avoided them. He didn't give a shit. And that's a big black eye. And no one wants to even trust us because of this stupid Yahoo that some of you folks, and don't get me wrong, I'm not talking about you and downgrading you. But, you know, this man came up, and y'all, I wish y'all would have looked through the bullshit. This isn't freaking high school, people. Who cares if you don't like what he did 20 years ago? Some of y'all got done things you did 5 years ago, and somebody will look at you like you're damn crazy. So who cares? You should look at the people who's going to wants to do something about this damn nation and wants to take care of it. And if they say something that you don't like, so what? Get a little thick skin. Because if I was a commander of a military, I would look at you and I'd say, you know what? I will not tolerate harassment. I will not. But you know what? We're the freaking military. Have a little bit of freaking thick skin. Because when the time comes and we need a fight, I need you to be able to do your job. And if the enemy is in your face, you damn sure better pick up that weapon, and you better be pointed down to their enemy. And you better be popping off caps and killing them. Because that's what you're supposed to do when you're in the military. I don't care if you're a freaking cook, if you're a paper pusher, or whatever. And people who, you know, when you grow up in this United States, they're not even part of the militia. If you love your United States and you have an invader that's going to come here, we're going to go ahead and pop a cap in their butts. And it just pisses me off. And I'm sorry I went on this rant, but it just pisses me off that you folks sit up here in your damn United States and you want to take away our damn guns because of an object that's there and it doesn't do anything until someone grabs a hold to it. But let me back up. You know, it's just, I'm just tired of this administration that we need an administration that people are going to sit back, they're going to respect, they're going to understand the United States is here. And when we tell our people, our friends, that we have their back, we freaking have their back. We don't abandon them. We still got people abandoned from this Afghanistan, and nobody trusts us because of this idiot we have as a president. He is not a commander-in-chief. Not even close. And I will never call him a commander-in-chief. He has not earned that. He has not earned that respect. The only thing he has is a freaking title. And I know a lot of people feel the same way as I do. And it's just point being, I am sick and tired. When somebody's a president of the United States, at least they need to have a little bit of military background behind them. So at least they know what the hell's going on. I am sick and tired of these people who are presidents, and they have no clue about the military. And I know some idiots going to say, well, Trump didn't have anything about the military. At least he went to a military school. He has a little bit of knowledge about the military, and he respects the military, and he shows that he does. Unlike this person that doesn't know how to ride a bicycle. But, oh, man, I think I'm taking Jeremy's spot. Holy shit. You know, and that's where love
is. Yeah, I'm like about to call you Jeremy.
Well, it's just, oh man, I mean, I love this nation, I love my state. It just pisses me off that these people, I mean, you have Africa, even Africa said, we don't care basically about the LGBT thing. That's not their concern. They don't care. You know what? They're against it, period. But they say they're looking at China because they're looking at strategic. They're looking at who's going to have their back, even though China turns around and they say, we'll help you, but they'll set it a way where you'll fail financially, like these cash-out apps place, where you fail, and then China takes over. But you have, you know, the Middle East, they're beginning to look at China. You know, you have all these nations looking at China, and you have these nations that where they used to say, you know what, if we're in it, America got our back. They're going to come in, they're going to come and kick ass with us. Now, they're like, he's weak as hell. We don't trust him. He already left people behind. He's already bowing out. I'm not going to let him join NATO. Dude, you know what? You you messed this up. Now we have administration that messes shit up, and they can't clean it up. They don't even try to clean it up. And look at this mess. It's like you said, I don't know how we're going to get out of this. You know, we got China sitting up there. They're licking their lips. And like, yeah, we're just waiting. You know, we're not, they know that if they do something, they know the United States are going to respond. And they know we ain't pussies. So they're, it's not like all of a sudden we go hit Russia. They're like, okay, let's go. They're going to be kind of like, yeah, we might, but let's think about this. Because the military already knows we have two people we have to look at. We didn't have to look at two people before. Now we have to keep our eye on China. We got to keep our eye on Russia. And now since our military is being depleted because we have a stupid person that's in power that's taking money away from the military, talking about we can live off of freaking food stamps, you know, we're getting weaker and weaker. And people see that. And you folks, you need to understand this shit. It just irritates the hell out of me.
Don't forget how many combat veterans we forced out, including, I believe it was 6 F-22 fighter pilots, right?
Yes.
Basically, yes. Pretty much I believe that's our most advanced fighter jet, right?
The F-22?
Yeah. We forced them out because they refused to get a shitty vaccine that didn't even work.
See, that's another thing, too.
Hold on. I want to remind everybody of our audience interaction question. And I know our one listener out there asking about the chat. I do have the live chat back up. There's nobody in it, but I do have the live chat pulled back up if you're monitoring, listening over the website. We played a little game at the beginning of the show called What Year Is It? What year am I talking about? And I want to remind everybody what the headlines were. Kennedy's running for president. We are on the brink of a nuclear war with Russia. Our communist rivals are deploying military assets into Cuba. There are protests all over the country about all sorts of issues. And we are entering a large war, but only as advisors. We're not committing ground troops. We're not committing, you know, air troops. We're not committing naval strikes. We're just committing advisor. What year am I talking about? Kennedy's running for president, brink of nuclear war with Russia, communist assets going to Cuba, protests around the country, and we're in the advisory stage of a large war that we are slowly getting more involved in. What year am I talking about? I am going to answer that question before the end of the show. But I want to kind of try to lighten the mood up, and I believe we're going to end up probably calling the episode just a little bit early tonight. But I want to lighten the mood up. We've gotten, you know, we do this, you know, we start off, we kind of joke around. Then we kind of get into some substance, you know, what we call the body of the show, where we tackle more of the day. And we get some good debate going sometimes, get some good caller interaction going sometimes. And then towards the end, you know, we kind of like to lighten it back up again, lighten up the mood, get everybody in a positive mind frame before we end the show. So have you heard about this cage match? Talking about fighting, like UFC-style cage match between Elon Musk and Mark Zuckerberg. Have you heard about that, Daryl? I don't know if this is a publicity stunt or what's going on. This has been breaking today. And the first time I ran across a headline about it, It was with a source I was not familiar with. Couldn't give it any kind of credibility. So I was kind of like, whatever. I thought it was a clickbait headline. And then some trusted sources started talking about it. And although I haven't gone and seen like the tweet or the announcement or whatever myself, apparently Dana White, like the commissioner or the head guy director of UFC, has confirmed this, that this is a real thing, that Elon Musk and Mark Zuckerberg have apparently agreed to a cage fight match. I don't have any other details about that. I have heard some talk, though, that apparently Zuckerberg has been involved with a lot of training. I guess he's been doing a lot of jiu-jitsu training and some other, and I guess is pretty big into it. And I guess Elon Musk also has at least some fight training of some sort. I can't imagine what brought this about. Other than I know that Facebook is supposed to be, or Meta, the parent corporation of Facebook, is supposed to be releasing some sort of text-only type application that is meant to compete directly with Twitter. I don't know. I guess this led to some back and forth between the two of them or whatever. And somehow, at least what I'm getting very early on, this was breaking this afternoon. I have not had the chance to, like, really go in. But a couple of different sources that I trust, Timcast, Tim Pool, if you're familiar with Timcast IRL, and Jeremy over at The Quartering are both confirming, like, that this is a real thing, that there's actually going to be a cage match between Mark and Elon. What do you think of that, Daryl?
I think me laughing about it is telling you, what's the see these two dipshits? Who cares? I think, okay, let's entertain this. I think Elon Musk, He just looks like a frail little thing, and he doesn't look like he has any toughness about him, and he looks like a total freak-tard. And I think Mark, he's a little more built, so I think he's going to put a lot more damage on him. That is, if we're going to kind of take this seriously, which I am not. You're talking about lighting up. Gee whiz. I used to look at this thing, Rap History, with my son, where they have different people rapping against each other, and they have that. So that just tells me I think it's more a publicity stunt. I don't think they're gonna do anything. But if they do, Elon, I think he'll map
him. Total publicity stunt. I do not see those two getting into a cage and actually fighting. I don't. As much as I dislike Zuckerberg, actually did follow through with a UFC style cage fighting match. My instinct, I actually think Mark would win. I really do.
If it was a street ball brawl, you know, Elon would kick his ass. I think because you do have rules, that may help Zuckerberg. But I think if Elon could take him out early and hurt this person, which doesn't look like it's too hard to do, he'll bow out. You know, okay, a middle fence, It's not just a cage match.
You know,
oh, I kid him.
But you know what? I'll give some credit. Because here's what Elon, I think, would do if this actually went forward. Mm-hmm. I think he would write the contract up. He would write the terms and conditions for the fight. Right?
Right.
There would be some back and forth. They would agree to it. And then Elon would show up wearing an AI-powered exoskeleton. And Mark would be like, whoa, wait a minute. And they'd be like, oh, we've reviewed the contract. There's nothing that stops him from being able to use this thing.
I still think Elon Musk. I think Elon Musk, he's older. Yeah, I think he'll – old boy got some thickness to him. And Zuckerberg, very nothing to him. And, you know, and I'm not saying that skinny people cannot kick another person's butt because it can happen, because I've seen it happen. But, yeah, I think Elon has more street than Zuckerberg does. I think Elon got more will to go ahead and whoop his ass than Zuckerberg does. I don't think he has the will to go ahead and really go through some suffering. I think he'll whimper out and be like, he hit me too hard. Oh, well, he's kicking me too hard. Oh, well, you know, he kind of palmed me in my nose, and it hurts, and it's bleeding, and no one has a tissue, and I can't do this. Somebody bring in my artificial intelligence person and do a what's that hologram of me fighting? oh my God.
Okay, so Mark
uh-huh.
has the body wrestler, and I don't mean like
yeah.
a WWE, you know. Jesse the Body Ventura. I mean like an actual, like high
wrestler.
School, college wrestler, you know,
yeah.
One not, you know, 90% show and 10% wrestling. With that body type, if he's actually been hitting the training for the jiu-jitsu as hard as he supposedly has been, even though Elon's got more reach, I can totally see Mark getting inside and grounding him fairly quickly.
Mm-hmm.
And I think once it ground, I don't know. I don't even know why we're talking. This is never going to happen. This is never
going
to happen. You know what? What do you think, ladies and gentlemen? Uh-oh, I hear Carly. My dog's about to go nuts. Daryl, take over. I'm going to mute.
Okay, go ahead. You know, the Elon thing. you're right. It is a lighter side, and it is not going to happen. But if it does happen, I think Mark would get his butt handed to him. You know, I ain't going to say Elon won't get some damage, because he will, but I think he's going to hand it to him, because, oh boy, he, like you said, he's built like a wrestler. You know, wrestling, not that maniac fake stuff, which ain't nothing wrong with it, because it's entertainment. Notice the word entertainment. But wrestling, I mean, my uncle done it. I done a little bit of it. My uncle, he won some awards for it. I see these little dudes, oh my God, they're throwing down people. Wrestling, I'm sorry folks, but wrestling is a sport that needs to be up there along with football and stuff, because these men and women that wrestle, man, they're flexible, they're quick, they are powerful. They may not be all built like they do up in WWF, but these people, man, they got some serious strength to them. So with that in mind, you know what, my hands off to real pro wrestling, not the fake stuff, the real stuff,
right.
The Olympic wrestling. So
all
right, back.
So. I'm back. Yeah, so here's the bad thing about me trying to broadcast from home. On Thursday night, my wife has softball, okay? So she goes, she plays her softball game after work. She usually gets home from that anywhere between 8:30 and 9 o'clock on Thursdays. The show's still going. And as soon as the dog hears her Harley, coming down the street, and he hears it when it's like half a mile away. And, yeah, he can discern between her Harley and somebody else's. Okay? He starts going nuts, right? He starts barking, going crazy. And so for the radio portion of this show, over the Blog Talk website, I'm good. I can just hand the mic over to you or Jeremy or whoever. I put mine on mute, and it's all good. Now, unfortunately, since we're not all on the video podcast yet, the only way the audience can hear by you or by Jeremy or whoever is talking at the time while I'm muted on my Blog Talk mic, unfortunately for them to hear you guys, I have to leave the mic open on the video feed. Now, if we all three were on here doing the video, I could also mute my video mic, and the audience would still hear you and Jeremy just fine. But that's not the setup I have right now. So the people that are watching this on Twitter, you know, they got to hear the wife walk in. They got to hear the dog going nuts the entire time. My wife's kind of noisy when she walks in the house. Quiet is not one of her strongholds and one of her strong suits. So things that have to be kind of worked. Once all three of us are tied in on this video feed, you know, I'll be able to mute my mic on both of them, so that the audience don't have to put up with all that noise. But that's gonna probably take a little while for us to work out the bugs on that. But like I said, we are going to be wrapping the show up early tonight, and I wanted to go ahead and give the answer to that little quiz question we threw out there. Now, you said that you knew what year I was talking about. What year
Yep.
are you guessing, Daryl?
1962, the Cuban Missile Crisis.
1962. All right. Yep. Are you ready for the actual answer?
Yep.
I am talking about
2023. Oh, shit. Oh,
yes.
You're right.
Robert F.
Kennedy
Jr. Called
China.
Robert F. Kennedy Jr.
That's right.
Is running for president, even though the media won't touch him. He actually is running for president. We are on the brink of war with nuclear war with Russia. Now, notice I said Russia, not the Soviet Union.
Yep.
I'm sneaky like that.
Yep.
I'm sneaky like that. As far as assets, yes. China, it has reached an agreement with Cuba. They are building, already in progress, they are building
yep.
a spy station in Cuba.
Yep.
Right next door.
Yep.
So we have that going on. Of course, the protests have been going on. And as you're aware, we got this big Russia versus Ukraine war. And we, of course, have only committed advisors, just the same way we got drawn into Vietnam. We sent some advisors, and then we sent some weapons, and then, you know, the advisors were actually involved in some ground warfare. We found out later. We've already found out that our advisors are tied up in some ground battles out there. That's where we are. All those things. Tell me history don't repeat itself.
And look at our president. What's he doing? Nothing. And yeah, we got China up in Kim's area, up in Canada. We got China up there. You know what? And you notice they made a lot of moves since Trump's been gone. And pretty messed up. And like you said, you got Kennedy. Let's see. When I heard about Kennedy, they even announced that they're not noticing anyone else for the Democratic Party except for Biden. And when they say something
right.
like that, that ought to be telling you guys something. When you have another person who wants to run for the Democratic side for president and the media is not even covering it, people, that ought to be telling you something. That ought to be telling you, like,
right.
you know what, we're close to being like a third world country where our elections are beginning to become shams. And that's why we got to
yeah.
start standing
and
up.
And not just anybody. It's not like
right.
this is just, you know, Bob the plumber. You know, this is the nephew
Kennedy.
Of a president that was assassinated by the
mm-hmm.
CIA, you know, that we've recently
yep.
admitted to nobody seems to care about. So it's not like it's nobody. I mean, this is yeah, it's crazy. Nephew of a very popular assassinated former president, and the media won't even talk about the fact that he's running. And they're not even willing to allow him to come in and participate in any primary debates. So crazy stuff, but I'm going to go ahead and move us on to final thoughts. We're going to go ahead and wrap this episode up a little early. And Daryl, give us a quick final thought for the night.
All right, one thing we've got to say, I got to do this. We are also on Spotify. So as soon as our show is over, Kim, our wonderful person in Canada, she will put the show on Spotify. And on Spotify, you can listen to everything from episode 1 all the way up to tonight's episode. We're also on Blog Talk, too. So there you go. All right, so done with that. Man, a lot of this goes for accountability and calling people out for who they are, you know. And everybody knows I'm not a big fan of Obama, you know. I'm not, just period. You know, it has nothing to do, you know, I know somebody, I don't care about your color as president. I go by policies and what the hell you're doing. But this man, Biden, I have no love for this man. Zero. I have no love for Kamala. Zero. I have no respect for her because, you know, we have people that are in Africa that are enslaved to this cobalt mines, to these cobalt mines, and she takes her crazy life in it ass over there and talks about the LGBT, but never mind all these mothers, these people that are picking up this cobalt stuff with their bare hands. They got kids on their backs. The mom have babies on their backs. Work in the mines. They ain't hardly getting paid. That's modern-day slavery. And yet you
right.
got the nerve to bring that bullshit here in the United States talking about we haven't, you know, that we still have this BS that's going on. No, that is a political thing. Now, as for Ukraine, you know, the way things are going, this administration has done so much damage. I honestly – unless we get someone in there that cares deeply about the United States and don't care about the news media and their bullshit and these people that's crying, you hurt my feelings, because me, I don't give a damn about your feelings. Let's deal with facts and let's deal with reality. Until we get a president that's going to do that, we're going to be in a heap shit of trouble. We need to keep our Second Amendment, because when the shit hits the fan and they come through our military – and spots where the military is not, I said, rednecks, blacknecks, gay folks, non-gay folks, mix, I don't give a damn who you are. You're going to have to defend your homeland. You're going to have to defend your property. And people that wants to take away our Second Amendment rights, that's what all these people, they're waiting for. And all this with Biden, with y'all picking the bottom of the barrel, and I'm going to say that because Biden and Kamala with the bottom of the barrel, and this is what we get. We get some BS that's going on, and all the stuff that has happened lately, and since this man has been president, the mistakes that have been made, they have not tried to correct anything. They turn their blind eye and let shit get worse. And right now, you know, I want somebody, I don't give a damn what their political label is. What I care about is this. Whoever's going to be president cares about our Constitution, cares about our borders, the United States, and they care about defending and helping our neighbors who are in need. But yet, like Trump did, like Trump said to the Saudis, we're not just here to protect you. You need also give you need to give us some money too to be protecting your bus because y'all are rich as hell, and we're not just going to be spending money just to be spending money to protect you. And you're not putting into the kitty. You need to put into the kitty. That's the kind of president we need. We need a president that's going to stand up and say shit that people are scared of saying. And again, on that, Elon Musk.
That was funny.
I like that, man. I'm glad you brought that up. But I think Elon Musk still kicked Mark Zuckerberg's butt. Other than that, people, I appreciate y'all listening to all of us here on the Disrespected Trucker. I appreciate all you fans, the people that listen. I know there's people that listen to us because there's people that tell me, hey, I heard you guys on the air that don't say anything, which I'm fine with that. But, you know, if you want to call in. And one more thing, NAACP, I'm calling you out. So I call into the radio show because I would love to talk to y'all because right now I'm just going to put it like this. I think you're full of bullshit. You're not here for the advancements of color people. You're here for the advancement of whoever's going to put money into your damn organizational pocket, and that's how it is, and they have to be a Democrat. And a lot of colored people, they need your help, and you ain't helping. Look at our neighborhoods. They look like we have more black people killing than white folks killing black folks, and you're trying to make it seem like it's the other way around, and it's not. We are beginning to be our own worst enemies, and it's time for us to start standing up because we are some smart-ass people. As for Deerfield, Colorado, that used to be a black-owned town, and look at it. Learn your damn history. All right. Appreciate you, Chris, for being on the air with us. Jeremy and Kim, I love y'all, and looking forward to seeing y'all next week.
All right. Well, we're going to bring this to close for the night. You know what? Pay attention. Join that convention of states. Go out, see what you can
Hell
do.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, go and see what you can do there. And we're not losing anything. Every day, more and more people are becoming aware. More and more corruption's being exposed every day, every hour. And we're going to turn this thing around. So with that, I'm going to play our little end of the night theme song. As always, thank you all for being here. I appreciate you all, and I look forward to seeing you at the next one.
Hell yeah!
Just a minute.